Previously.
One, two, three.
X-rated, the X-Men Animated Review Show.
Hello, and welcome to X-Rated, the X-Men Animated Review Show. We are your hosts, Quickskelver and Ball of Andre Trask.
It's me.
Neither of us can be trusted, really.
That's true. I mean, Quickskelver's pretty good.
He's a thief.
Yeah, well, I mean, who amongst us hasn't stolen a loaf of bread for a hungry family once or twice?
Or right? Twinkies.
Right? Am I right, fellow proletariats?
And with us, guest, returning guest to the show.
You sound disappointed, like, guest.
No. Oh, my God. No, why? What did I do?
Danvit is back. We're glad to have you back, Danvit.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really like participating.
Thanks for suggesting the Rogue Cut, because I hadn't seen it. So
I know. That was shocking to me that you hadn't seen it. Andre, had you seen it?
No, I had not, actually.
What? Do you guys know it even existed?
Yes, I did know existed,
I heard rumblings.
I didn't think it was that big of a difference. And honestly, upon watching it, I can see why they cut it. No, yeah, I can see why they cut it. Because, you know, there's...
I have thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like they already had a path, and then they suddenly diverge and then drop you in this new path that just basically puts you back to the old path, merely to have her there, which is fine, but... I can see why they cut it, but I do like it.
Anna Paquin, when she got the news, was like, "You did what to me?" Right? Can't you see her being like, "How dare you?"
Yeah, 100%. She's a big part of the series, and they just sort of washed her out of there.
As long as the check still clears, I guess.
She gets all the checks from the Rogue Cut, all of them.
Yeah, seriously.
What is that, like a Blu-ray? Like a few Blu-rays? Like what is?
I don't know. I bought a bunch of Blu-rays for friends of mine. So I was like, you have to get the Rogue Cut.
You just bought tons of them and handed them out like Santa Claus?
I bought 3 or 4 of that. Because I was like, we can't do Rogue like that. Come on. We got to pass it out to her.
Before we get into this, though, I'd say we got a cool new intro, as you can see, to the show.
Yes. It's pretty great. Thanks to Murph. First World Mind Murphy. Thanks, Murphy.
He sent it to me and he said it was like an early birthday present for Devin. He said he's going to leave. Did you just discover it in the feed or did he tell you?
No, he sent it to me.
He said he's going to leave it in the feed and wait for you to find it yourself. But then he must have got impatient of waiting.
Well, it's great. Thanks, Murphy. It's pretty sweet. We're a professional outfit here now.
Yeah, we weren't before. We were just a bunch of garbage people doing a stupid garbage show. But now we got that intro. We're ready. Awesome.
Yep, that's for sure. Now, Danbit. As a listener of the show, you probably don't need any more explanation when I ask.
Well, let's catch up on old times.
What are they up to?
What you think they doing up there?
I think the Gambit line really overshadows like the other part. What happened to? Like I always forget about how kind of funny that is too. Is that Xavier, isn't it?
Yeah, what are they up to?
Yeah, it just sounds so funny.
It's so good.
What are you up to?
Yeah. You said you brought, you have like preparations there.
Oh, well, God, I prepared for a while for this. So I was kind of telling Andre that recently my husband had to go to Canada. And when he tells me that work trips, I'm like, all right, like, have fun. But then he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I went to this place called Truro. I'm like, say what? I'm like, I know.
I could have met Mr. Dan.
Mr. Danda, yeah.
Mr. Danbit.
His name is Jeff. He would have. And so right before we met, I was like, all right, I need to get all the information down on what was going on in Truro.
Okay.
So he was there.
He came for Burger Week.
He came just for Burger Week. It's a hell of a week.
Burgers. he was there opening a Pearl Vision on Roby Street at the mall. Do you guys know where that is?
I do.
You do? Okay.
There's one major mall and one shitty mall. That's the major mall.
That's the main, oh, good. He didn't go to the shitty.
That's the good mall.
Glad to hear that.
Yep.
He said he went to a place called Pure and Simple every day for breakfast, mm-hmm. and it was amazing.
It's also in the mall.
Also in the mall.
He didn't get much further than the mall.
He was.
It's all good.
Really impressed by Churro, so he was making sure he spent all his time in the mall. And then he went to a place called Olive and Vine, which was the best downtown Churro food that he said he experienced. Is that true? Excellent.
Yes, they're fantastic. I actually helped them start to do their social media stuff when they're getting going. So
did you really?
Yeah. They're a super cool little spot. It's as far as like a swanky night out. It's or a nice place to eat for lunch and stuff. It's probably the best.
The husband's swanky, so he would appreciate that.
Oh,
so.
Excellent. Well, next time Jeff's in town,
tell Metropolis.
Tell him to drop me a line.
I know. I was like, had I known you were going to Truro, I would have been like, hey, I'm coming, Andre. What are we doing?
Let's go. We'll go meet
of all places though. It's like. I'm Devin's going to only, Canada. It's like
Devin's where? Only an hour.
Nova Scotia.
Devin's only an hour away. He could come down.
Yeah, exactly. I'd meet you down there.
So what does he do for Pearl Vision? Is he like just
visual merchandising? So they're opening up a new store. So he was going to make sure everything looked perfect.
That is cool. I'll have to take a look in. I am an eyeglass wearer, so I'll have to pop in.
All right. Yeah, definitely go in and be like, I know Jeff, and you know, name drop, and you'll definitely get. Something I don't know what though.
a blank stare. Just kidding.
I also did hear that one of the most popular men in Truro was actually you. So next time my husband goes back, can he name drop you?
Yeah, who told? How did he come about that?
I don't know who told me, but somebody might have told me about that. I'm not sure who.
We mentioned it on the show. You were actually bragging about being Truro's most famous man.
I wasn't bragging. I won an award. Actually,
award. You have an award for this?
Yeah.
Oh my god! Truro's famous award.
I won last year, and they do the fall. They do it in the fall, and I won it in December. Is when they do the award.
My last point on this is someone who is a friend to the show. Whose father passed away recently, unfortunately, and she's a wonderful person. You guys will figure out who it is. She just put her dad's home on the market in Truro.
Oh.
Who is it?
Who do I not know who this is?
It's Lenore.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
She posted like all these beautiful pictures as kind of like a homage to her like dad and how great the house was. She has a pool.
I knew him for not well, but like through my old work, I used to. He would come in and get his van done up every time there's an election for Lenore.
So, that's so cool.
He'd get her face all over it and vote Lenore and all that. So I would help him design them and get them put on the van when he was coming in. Paul, very cool guy. He reminded me of a hobbit. He was very short, and he had a lot of hair, and he just had a kind of a little accent, but he was a really cute, really cool dude. And it was a shame to see him go.
It was lovely to see them on social media and how loving she was towards him. So I wasn't but it was really nice to see. Yeah.
He was crazy proud of her, and like he'd always talk about her. So
And that's all I have to say about Truro. I don't know what else I can say.
That's enough. That's enough. You said I was the most famous person here, so that's fine. Well, that's all you need to say.
You got the award to prove it, so I don't know what else to say. So
that's as much as I know about Truro. And an
it's a pretty nice spot. I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
All right. So crisis averted. I have the Blu-ray of this, which I watched for preparation for this. And then I realized I don't have a Blu-ray player on my computer because like most computers, they don't come with drives anymore. And I should get a one you can just plug in with the USB port. But so then I had a file downloaded to watch the show. And then I apparently deleted it. But crisis averted. And the amount of time it took us to do all that. I re-downloaded it, so we're set.
You've got fine internet in old Barnes.
Pretty good, I must say. Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, no, that's cool about Jeff coming down. I'll definitely have to definitely meet up with him, and if you're down as well, next time he's in the area.
Absolutely.
If he has to go back to that Pearl Vision, for sure.
I mean, I don't know if he ever has to go back, but if he does, I'm coming too, so
if one comes to Halifax or some other area in Nova Scotia, everything's fairly close, unless he's in Sydney. It's not too far away.
Not close.
That's about 3 hours from me, but four from Devin.
Okay.
But,
You know, Andre, if you went in there and just, like, smashed the store up a bit as a big, burly fella.
Good point.
He'd probably have to be sent back to fix it up again and make sure it's perfect.
Yeah, go ahead. No way, I can't even tell you go smash it up, please.
No, you're not allowed to tell us that. Yeah. No.
I'm going to come in with a Molotov. Just come with a Molotov and throw it through the window.
No!
This one's for Danbit.
Yeah. Send Jack.
No, it's a good Gambit line. Just like
anything with a share. I don't got
MZ says awesome intro. Thanks, MZ. Fine work. All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's
talk right, about
I got some things to say about this movie. Yeah, let's just get into it.
All right. Get some things to say. Some doings are transpiring.
But I'm overall positive about this one, actually.
Yeah, I
like this movie quite a bit. I must say.
Yeah, too.
Spoiler alert! Too. It's a great movie. It's probably the second best X-Men movie.
I might argue for higher.
I agree with you, Andre. Second.
Yes. Are you X2 who thinks the best Ambit 2, or you have another favorite?
I'm sorry. You say it more time.
Oh, which one is your favorite? Is it X2?
X2 has got to be my favorite. I mean, yeah.
I knew Ambit was one of my favorite X-Men for a reason. Especially now that he extolled the virtues of Thoreau.
Yeah, he just shot to the top of the list. You know,
that's right. the fact Americans know about it is enough for me to be excited. I'm like, ooh. One of my favorite moments.
Notice how famous I am.
One of my favorite moments ever is there's a show called The Blacklist with James Spader that was like on cable for like 10 years. And there's an episode where there's like he was a protege for some other old criminal guy played by Stacy Keach, who, if you ever watch like Titus or whatever,
Stacy Keach is great.
Yeah. So he is great. He's in a lot of cool movies he's in a great Australian horror movie called Rogue Games. But anyway,
Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke.
Oh, is he? Nice.
Sergeant Stadenko.
He was very famous from Titus. But anyway, he's also, anyway, we can get into a bunch of stuff he's in. But so he's hiding out somewhere in Nova Scotia, Canada. So they go there to go find him. And one of the main characters on that show, Diego Klatinoff, the actor, is from like Pictou. So I'm guessing this is why they chose, which is about half an hour from here. Which I'm guessing is why they chose Truro as this location. This is where this character was hiding out. And they show a picture of Truro like on this episode. And it's like a coastal town, which it's not. Like there's like Davin, it looked like Lunenburg. It's like there's like the whole town is on like on a dock on the bay and stuff. And it's like obviously they just use stock footage from some other place. But there's Lunenburg, a line in it looked very much like Lunenburg. And there's a line where someone says, like, well, didn't you escape with all this money? And he's like, do you think if I had millions of dollars, I'd be in Truro, Nova Scotia? Yeah, and it's got all these, like, big hills and stuff. It does. They definitely did not film it here or anywhere near here, but it's just really funny.
All right.
We ready to get into this?
Let's do it.
Do it. All right. Well, we get another reminiscent intro to every other X-Men movie, which actually they kind of eschewed with the Wolverine movies. But with the other X-Men movies, we get those big, crazy intro scenes. But just before that, we get a kind of a loose look at the future with a voiceover from... actually, it's not just before the voiceover, isn't it? Oh, no, we got a voiceover from Patrick Stewart as Professor X explaining how, you know, in the future... mutants and the humans that help them are being corralled and put into camps. We see one with a noticeable face tattoo and some other ones that have these things on the back of their necks. Kind of very concentration camp-esque. You know, everyone's being kept in these crazy camps. We see tons of skeletons and bodies of people that, you know, didn't fall into line or whatever this regime is. We see a young mutant sort of looking through the bodies, trying to discover something and then be sort of... who I thought was Rogue at first, just because it had the white hair. But they have some expounding about the idea if the future is set or if it can be changed. And then this little scavenger kid is scared by something that shows a big light, fills his face, and assumes something bad happens to him. Then we get one of those big, fancy Cerebro entrances where we're going through circuitry and genomes and all that kind of fancy stuff. To bring us back to, I guess, slightly before that future or during that future. I guess the same time of that future. Where we see a group of mutants. And feel free to jump in with any notes, guys, you have at any point. We see a group of mutants hiding out in this post-apocalyptic future. We see Warpath, who looks pretty good. We see Blink, who also looks pretty true to the comics, I'd say.
I was pretty excited to see Blink.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't do a ton, but, you know, to see them and have them be the characters they are and, you know, use the powers they have.
She was literally the only reason they were alive. keeping them all alive, basically.
I would argue that Kitty and Bishop were more the reason because of the fact that what happens to come. But we also see, I think it's Sunspot, I believe. I think it's
Sunspot.
And Colossus, Kitty, and Bishop, who is English now. Not English. Is he like
what?
Jamaican? What's his accent? Who? African?
Bishop? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sounds kind of like an African thing.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
So we also see them get note that something's cut. They're obviously moving around supplies for their war effort or whatever they're doing. Then they get noticed that they've been found out, so they all start taking their battle stations. We also see a wall that lingers on for a minute of people who have died, you know, sort of a shrine that they run past when they're trying to escape. That did you stop on that shrine and look at some of those pictures, Devin?
No.
I'm getting there later.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well, there's a ship overhead.
Get there now.
You can talk about it now.
It's so hard to zoom in and like really see who is in there. Did you find anybody in particular that you're like, oh, that's...
There's someone that kind of looked like Blink, actually. So maybe like a sister or something. It had like the markings on the head and stuff. I'm going to pause right now on it and see if I can see anyone I noticed directly. No, actually, it's very fast. It's hard to see them all, but no. So I wondered if it was maybe they were like family of people on the production because they look like real photographs of people's. Some of them just look like headshots, like people's acting headshots. But I'm wondering if it might be people connected to the production that may have snuck photos of their family in or something. That's kind of what it seems like. So
which is cool.
Which is cool. Hopefully that's
which is cool. Yeah, like, of course. Yeah, you're on this. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no. You jump in. That's the point. We chat.
Yeah, MCU, though, bring back Blink. I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah. Like,
if she just showed up in this Deadpool Wolverine movie, that'd be pretty slick. Because anyone could. Anyone in this movie.
It sounds like a lot of the old MCU characters are popping up in various roles. There's rumored that Jennifer Garner's back's Elektra briefly.
That one just sounds crazy to me, but all right, wild. I'm here for it. Wild. I'm here for
it. I'm sure they're just going to make a big joke out of it, so why not?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be great if they could get Ben Affleck to be Daredevil again, but that would have been out.
They would keep that one real secret, though.
Colin Farrell is Bullseye. I met Clark Duncan, it's no longer with us, but
oh, I never miss. What the fucking costume?
Yeah, you know what? As a kid, and it was probably because there was a desert of new superhero movie content when I was a child. I really liked that movie. I'm sure if I were to go back, and I watched the director's cut years later. The one with Coolio and all that in it, which actually is a way better movie because it fills in a lot of holes the other one had. But, you know, it's a decent movie for what it was, especially from the time period it was. Was it perfect? No. But, you know, had its moments. So,
big Daredevil fan. I was happy enough with it.
Yeah, you know.
So it's all really good where he's just tracking those guys down and, like, he throws the guy in front of the train.
Right.
It's like, you see those lights at the end of the tunnel? That's not heaven. That's the C train.
Yeah. They kind of, it's almost like the making him from less of a dark character to a slightly lighter, more superhero character sort of story. But
except he threw a guy in front of a train.
Well, by the end of it, he's sort of like happier, you know.
He's happier about it.
Joe, the C train, the worst
train. Love, he found love and then lost it, you know. Anyway, are you in New York, Dan? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm in New York City. The C train is the second to worst train in New York. So yeah, if you're gonna die on one train, hopefully it's not the C train or the G train. So
is it close to Hell's Kitchen? Is that like where
it is? Yeah, it's really close. Awesome. I'm like two blocks from there. So.
Okay, that's cool.
You live in Hell's Kitchen? That's cool.
I'm in Chelsea, which is the neighborhood south of it, but I'm close to the C train as well, which is not something to be proud of.
And if you randomly throw like a cigarette down in that area, will it light up a flaming DD that overlap on the street?
It usually does. Like, I'll send you guys a video tomorrow.
Daredevil sits out there every night, spraying a DD pattern in like gasoline in various places around the city.
That's what we do in the mornings, you know.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Because like you have to hope someone's going to throw a cigarette or something down for it to light up.
Oh god, there's much worse things down there. Anyways,
fair enough. So anyway, the robot, the things that they're preparing to attack bust through the ceiling, and they are, as we'll come to know them, as Sentinels, but futuristic ones that are kind of have the ability to adapt and take Nimbus. The powers of, yeah, essentially take the powers of the mutants that they're attacking with. They kill Sunspot. And they get into a fight with the Iceman. Tries to stop it. He shows up. He gets killed as well.
Warpath
gets killed. They all get killed in horrible ways. We see Iceman's head get melted.
There's a lot right of that.
Body. Yeah, and then stepped on. So then we see Kitty and Bishop run off to a back room where Kitty starts using some kind of power that she...
Okay, here's my first problem with this.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what this power is or where it came from. It's never referenced as to why Kitty can do this now.
Like, it is a point.
And normally it's just because they're so reluctant to introduce a new character. But in this movie, they introduce a ton of new characters. So, like, one of the new characters they could have introduced was Rachel. Mm-hmm. Like, and it would have been interesting to people, like, oh, who's this other redhead that's not Jean, you know, but has similar powers. People would have been intrigued, and it would have been cool to see Rachel. And it would have made more sense, because what is Kitty doing there? And, like... Just to jump ahead a bit, like, she sends him back 2 weeks or whatever. Like, how does she know? And later on, she's just like, yep, 1973. Just like, how does that work? How do you, like, what are you talking about? She has
some kind of psychic powers, I guess. I don't know.
It makes no sense.
So, I guess it's an expansion of her powers, but it makes no sense as to, because her powers are phasing. Yeah. So, how does this connect? Phasing through solid matter. So, how does this connect with her ability to phase people's consciousness through time? I guess maybe I've explained it myself. I don't know, but it's never explained. But somehow in the future, Kitty has this ability to send people's consciousness back in time to inhabit their bodies from the past.
At least with Rachel, it was telepathy. So it's just like, right. She just like moved your consciousness who was it? Into a
was
younger
it, was it her in the original Days of the Future Past? I know Kitty was sent back.
It was Rachel.
Okay. So you know, just before the Sentinels are getting in to kill them. They get what they needed to get finished. And, you know, Kitty says, too late, assholes, basically. And then it all resets and time goes back to the current timeline, which has now changed because they were no longer there.
And I might add, not a good use of Kitty. A better use of Kitty, which they've done in the comics more recently, is how badass her powers actually are. Mm-hmm. Her just, like fucking up Nimrods left and right would have been an awesome scene. Because she would have stood a better chance against them than anyone.
You're phasing through them and stuff, fucking them up.
Yeah, I figure it would take them a while to figure out a way to adapt to the phasing. It's like, what are they going to do? Become more solid or like phase themselves? Like, what's their end game there? I figure that one's a slow adapt for a Nimrod. That one's a tricky one.
But so we then see
they try to freeze her maybe with ice powers. I don't know what they would try to do to Kitty. Wouldn't work. So
we then we see the Blackbird arrive at a rendezvous in what looks to be Chinatown or somewhere in China, in the world, which is a broken Asian-inspired buildings, in which we see Rogue, Professor X, Wolverine, and Magneto. Not Rogue, sorry, Storm, Professor X, Wolverine, and Magneto all come out of the plane and then meet up with the group of rebels we met before, in which they are sort of informed of how they've managed to keep escaping because using her powers to go back in time, warn Bishop about what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time so they cannot be in that location and go somewhere else.
I will say, not my Storm, and to a much lesser degree, not my Wolverine. But that's a cool scene where she walks out with her eyes all white and then Wolverine's out with his cigar. That's a cool scene.
Yeah, walking off that plane, it looks awesome, like all four of them.
Storm's fine in this. She has a moment to shine, I guess, as much as, you know, to do some pretty cool badass Storm stuff. But
she looks cooler. Her hair's way better than those terrible wigs they kept giving her. Yeah.
So we kind of get a little bit of expositionary dialogue as to how we got here, which is basically that all the problems in the past started when Bolivar Trask, who is now a small little person actor, played by Peter Dinklage, who is a genetics expert or a robotics expert that becomes fascinated with mutants, is creating Sentinels to keep them in line way back in the past. Mystique finds out way back when, kills him, and when he gets assassinated, all the world governments believe that mutants are now a threat. Although, based on what happens by the end of this movie, if they don't think mutants are a threat by what happens at the end of this movie, then
that's
I don't think
my big problem with this movie.
I don't think shooting one guy in the head is going to change the history that much.
Like this whole movie, I'm thinking, I'm just sitting there thinking, aren't they making it worse? Like, what's happening here? Like,
well, apparently they can figure out that this is where it all went south, so they can go back and prevent Mystique. And of course, Charles remembers now. I'm guessing Charles brings up that they used to be friends when they were younger. He remembers all that stuff from the first class timeline we got now. And they figure that if they can go back and stop this assassination from happening, that this future will never be. However, Kitty tells them that they have trouble sending people back. She only do a couple weeks because the mind will tear itself apart. However, if they send someone back whose mind is capable of repairing itself, like Wolverine, then that should be okay. So we also see that Kitty and Iceman are together now in this world. So they get ready to send Wolverine back.
Because apparently they're just leaving Rogue there to suffer, even though they could save her at any point. Like, I definitely see why they cut that out. This is crazy. Yeah. That's Rogue cut.
It's weird. Like,
And I'll go through what all the differences are. I do have a list here when we get to that point later on. But we're talking about the Rogue cut now, so I'll just walk through the storyline itself. So they send Wolverine back. He wakes back up in the 70s. This would be the 70s, right?
Yep.
Yes.
The Cuban Missile Crisis was in the 60s.
That was the last one.
The Nixon's so president. So yeah, it would be the Wolverine wakes up in his own body in a hotel room where you know, he is greeted by other mob people. Apparently they were all sent to look after this mob boss's daughter. But Wolverine's been sleeping with her. He gets in a fight, beats them all up, sends her on his way, and goes off on his mission because he has the personality or the mind of the future Wolverine now in the body of the past Wolverine. So this would be before the metal skeleton, before all that sort of stuff, because he's referred to as Jimmy by the woman he's with. So, you know, they know him as who he is. So I'm guessing at some point in the future, he either, because this is another thing that's sort of interesting. He either figures out his past, or because I feel like he would care slightly to know what his real name is and all that stuff in the past, right?
Because it's due to the adamantium bonding process, right? He still
it's when he was shot in the head by Stryker, is when he forgot everything.
Oh, right.
At the end of Wolverine Origins.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So with the adamantium bullet. So I'm guessing at some point in the future he may have learned his backstory or something. But he doesn't seem to care too much about, even seem to shake a bad eye that she calls him Jimmy. So, we see Michael Lerner, who's a fun little character actor cameo, who's a congressperson that we see Trask in the past going to Congress for money to make these Sentinels to go against the mutants, and Congress basically turning him down.
Chris Claremont there as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we cut to a group of soldiers that are getting ready to be sent to Vietnam, all various mutant soldiers that have been drafted by the government. Familiar face sitting amongst them is Havoc, who we may remember from First Class, who only appears in this scene, which is kind of interesting only to have him in this tiny moment.
He's quite generic in all of these movies. Like, he could be anybody.
Yeah,
I'd rather have seen like Banshee or something, but they mentioned that he's dead.
So White Queen and all those other people are dead too, that were basically all the one up with Magneto at the end.
Yeah, like
as Azazel's dead too.
Yeah,
but they kept Toad in that scene too. Like, what, Toad?
Toad?
Like, who cared? Like, I was like, no, come on,
Toad. That was a cool looking Toad. The guy who was like a fry cook. Yeah, he was cool looking.
Toad was better looking Toad. He looked
pretty cool.
So we see a general kind of coming, a guy in general suit coming onto the base, looking at all these mutant soldiers, then comes face to face with the person running the base, who we all
remember. Again, makes no sense because we've seen Toad, and that's not what Toad looks like in this universe. Like, it steps on itself.
Well, it's also not what. No, we haven't. Oh, Toad in the past. Did we see him in the last season?
We see him in for the first X-Men movie.
Oh, Toad
gets hit by lightning.
Yeah, so no.
Like, and he looks nothing like this.
Well, you know, Michael Fassbender doesn't look like Ian McKellen either, so.
No, but Ian McKellen's old. This Toad got, like, younger.
He's just wearing glasses. Yeah, they tried to make him look more Toady. I thought the design for him was kind of cool with the sunglasses and stuff.
I do like that Mystique is actually a bad guy in this one. Like, in First Class bothered me a lot. Like,
well, at the end of First Class, she joins Magneto, so that was her becoming a bad guy.
In her, true, but her and Xavier's relationship is a detriment to every move in the movie they mention it in. Like, which is less in this one, but he still does talk about it. I knew her as Raven. It's just like, shut up, just shut up. Well, cut that out of the movie.
It comes up quite a bit in the past.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because that's how he reaches out to her.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it.
Connects with her. Well, you know.
Oh, this is.
You can't fault this film for the crimes of the previous film. We're looking at this film. They have to do what they have to do based on what happened before.
Yeah.
Although I think Simon Kinberg direct the previous one too, or write the previous one too?
Singer came back on board for this one.
Simon Kinberg still wrote it, I think. So, and he directed the first one, I think. But anyway. Yeah, Kinberg wrote it, and I believe he directed. No, it was Matthew Vaughn directed the first one, but I think Kinberg wrote that one too. So, we see this soldier guy come in. He seems upset with all these mutants that are there. He runs into the guy running this program to send mutants off to war in Vietnam. Of course, we recognize the name of this young upstart soldier as William Stryker, who seems to be a lingering thorn in the side of X-Men throughout the decades.
Apparently.
It's a lot of, you think of like this one guy has been a villain in three movies, this one human guy. And we've got him at different ages too.
But he kind of becomes the Trask almost, where he's like, Trask like doesn't want to kill any of the mutants because he wants to experiment on them.
Yeah, but he also calls them it. Like, he doesn't see them as people.
Yeah.
He says, don't hurt it. Capture it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. Stryker
just wants to kill them in this movie. But like, then he becomes Trask later and wants to experiment on them. You know?
Like, I know villains need to be villains, but it's kind of insane to me that any human, like, if somebody's standing before you, walking on all four, like, walking on two legs and talking to you like any other human, just because they look different, like, would you be like, this is a whole other species? It's an it.
Like, they gave him a horrible wig in this. And a horrible mustache.
Actually, no, it's horrible. He looks like someone out of the 70s.
I don't know.
It's a nice blowout.
Yeah, that's like a blowout hairstyle, man.
Yeah, it's a nice blowout.
All right, fine.
So basically, we discover that the soldier that's wandering in and looking at all these people is Mystique, who beats the crap out of all the soldiers and Stryker, revealing her abilities to shapeshift and using her guise as this general to send all these mutants home and get them out of the war. So, which is nice of her. So she's a bad guy, but she's still doing nice things for other mutants. Which follows us to Wolverine arriving at the X-Mansion. He meets Beast. They have a little bit of an altercation where Wolverine says, like, I know you in the future, we're friends, but you just don't know yet. Pushes out of his way, tries to get in, making Beast out, I guess, and get his blue fur, and they get into a bit of a fight.
They have a scuffle.
Which is stopped by a drunken, homeless-looking Professor X who's walking still and wanders down to stop the fight. Wolverine tries to convince him he's from the future and that they need his help. He explains the whole situation to them. They don't really believe him. In fact, Professor X has a nice line, which I thought was great, where he says, like, he says that Wolverine seems familiar at first when they meet. But then when he doesn't believe him and says, get out of here, Wolverine's trying to appeal to him for doing, like, reaching out to mutants and being who he really is. And he's so lost in despair, he just says, oh, I remember you now. He's like, we came for you for help years ago. I want to tell you what you told me then. Fuck off. And then, like, which I thought was like a nice nod, because that was just like a blowaway gag in the previous movie. So it was nice that it kind of came full circle, that like Wolverine's apathy of the way he was then is kind of where Professor X is now. And there's lots of nice imagery in there's obviously like liquor bottles everywhere you're supposed to show that Professor X is sort of, and before Wolverine went to the past, Professor X warned him that he was a very different person then. And he's going to have to reach out to him and appeal to him because he's really hurting at this point in his life. So Professor X goes off and is drunk in haze. Yeah, he has no powers as well. Beast informs him that basically a bunch of the people from the mansion got called off to war and died. And Professor X blames himself for all of this. So in order to help Professor X through it, he developed the serum to help him walk, but it inhibits his powers, so he can't use them anymore. So it's a variation of the serum that he uses to hide his blue furriness.
How could they make a decent looking Beast in X3 and then just make such an awful looking Beast in these two movies? Like, he just looks so awful.
He looks like a werewolf.
Yeah, kind of like a blue werewolf, but not a good blue werewolf.
Like, I don't know. A sad werewolf.
A sad werewolf, like a cheap costume werewolf you'd buy.
I don't think the design is terrible, but it does look more werewolfy. And we do see him back in his Kelsey Grammer-y look later.
And like the dissolve effect they use when he like turns from beastie form back into human it makes no sense. It's not like the hair falls out or like retracts back into him. It's just like his whole face just sort of dissolves from left to right back to normal. It's the silliest looking. Anyway.
Someone's mad about that.
There's a lot of things I don't like character wise.
So like Professor X thinks about, well, he's told that, you know, Mystique's going to do this and it's going to send her off a terrible path, get her killed and change the future of the world. So Professor X in his drunken sadness thinks about the relationship they had when they were younger and then comes out of it and agrees to help, you know, Wolverine stop all this from happening. Wolverine wants him to like read his mind and sort of realize he doesn't have these abilities right now. We also discover that they need, also before they went back in time, he was told by Magneto that they would need Magneto's help as well to do this. And at this point, you know, he needs to help them get together to work together at a point when they couldn't be further apart, which is the next line too in their timeline. And we discover that Magneto is being held in the Pentagon in a secret prison because he assassinated JFK, which is going to curve the bullet, which is the nice way of, you know, connecting that. And we find out more to that story later.
Yeah.
But we see Mystique break into Trask's office because when she was the guard hiding as a military person, she discovered notes that indicated some inky was going on with Sentinels and whatnot. So she breaks into the office under the guise of Trask, almost gets caught, but manages to get some information and get out. When they're trying to figure out how to break into the Pentagon, Wolverine says there's only one person he knows that could help. It would have only been a kid around now, but they could probably recruit him and get him to help. And then we go meet Quicksilver, played by, I'm forgetting his name. Good actor.
Evan Peters.
Evan Peters. From American Horror Story, which is when I first saw him in, but he's a great actor.
In Kick-Ass?
Oh, yeah, he's in Kick-Ass. He's kind of a minor role in those
movies. Both Quicksilvers are in Kick-Ass.
Right. Well, the other one is the Kick-Ass.
Right, the other one is Kick-Ass.
So we see this guy has crazy fast powers. We also see Wolverine meet his sister on the way in, which is new to this cut, if I recall correctly. So you never saw her talk before. Who would be a young Wanda Maximoff, I'm guessing.
Am I remembering wrong, or did, like, earlier on, when back in the future, did Bishop get a lot more dialogue in this cut?
I have comments on that.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that, Dambit.
So I'm going back to where before Andre went into the past. So there was a whole scene where they had a whole vote. Remember if they should send Wolverine back?
Yeah,
so it was right. Bobby and Kitty and Sunspot and Blink and Warpath and Bishop got together and all like chatted a bit to be like, well, what should we do? Should we trust these new old people and see
if this because they're worried that if they change the future, they may not be born.
Right. But it was cool to see the fact that like the six of them kind of like got together and talked about it. And it was nice to see those characters have a little bit more dialogue. Cause I don't think, did Blink even speak a word in the regular cut? I don't think so.
I don't think
she did, but so she had like five words in this one. So it was really nice to see. She got like five words, yeah. And then Warpath and Sunspot also had four or five words each. So it was nice to see them all interact, you know.
I agree.
I was like,
I think that added quite a bit for that little bit. I think it added
so much in the future that I love seeing with this cut. So yeah, that was one of my favorite just kind of dialogues that they had between them and like didn't care about the past and kind of didn't even check with Wolverine or, you know, Storm or Professor or Magneto. So yeah. Yeah, I like
the future part. Stuff is the strength of this movie
for me. 1,000% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Could have been a bit more of that and a bit less of the
past. Well, it's because you don't like the first class stuff, obviously. So.
Yeah. I agree. So much Mystique and Charles and Magneto in the past. It was like, let's have a little bit more of what we, you know, first came to love with the X-Men in, you know, 2000. So that was kind of how I felt about it when I was seeing the extended cut. I'm like, yeah, give me these people.
Yeah, no, I agree. So yeah,
we I might add, Andre, you also don't like First Class.
I agree. I like aspects of it. I didn't say it was the worst thing in the history.
Rob Domingo says Blink had a few lines in the OG. All right.
Yeah. Good job, so, Rob. You knew that.
Yeah.
So we meet Quicksilver, who, you know, his mom's not surprised. She thinks it's the cops there to talk to him because apparently he's been in trouble before. But he has these speed powers. He's just beating around his room. They make a note that, you know, he doesn't seem to hide his abilities. He says, who's going to believe you? If you tell anybody. And basically, he's not that interested in helping them until they say they need him to help break into the Pentagon. He also is kind of deadpan. Like, his character is very, like, he's not a super excitable person. And it's funny because, like, I love Quicksilver in the comics. And I like this version okay, too. But this is also him when he's a young man before he becomes an adult. He's very arrogant in the comics, which I always like about that. It's one of the things I liked about him. But in the past,
sort of in this, he's impatient anyway.
Yeah, he's very impatient.
He's almost like ADHD kid, which kind of makes sense, but not the energetic one, the one where he just like, because his abilities are so fast, he's just, you know, unimpressed with everything or bored, basically.
What'd you do, man? What'd you do? What'd you do?
Yeah. What'd you do? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that part was funny. So we see them working on working their way.
I like this Quicksilver a lot, I will say.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's. I feel like strength of this movie.
I feel like they go back to the well again in the next movie because of the cool scene in this one they didn't need to do.
It's not as good. It's good. It's a good scene, but it's not as good as the time.
Well, because we already saw it. There's no need to do it again.
Yeah.
They're like, people like this about the first one. Let's just do the exact same thing again in the next one. to a different song about time.
What was like that song?
It was Sweet Dreams, right?
In this one, it's Time in a Bottle.
In Sweet Dreams, the second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
Good song. The explosion. So basically, Quicksilver sneaks in, is so fast, he runs by everybody and gets in the elevator with a guy bringing food to Magneto. There's no metal in this prison, of course, because of his abilities. But he uses his speed ability to shatter the glass so Wolverine can escape. You know, the guards come to shoot them, but he's waiting for the guards to do that because it's all part of his escape plan. He holds Magneto by the back of the neck. She doesn't get whiplash, and then you know, moves almost so fast
puke.
Beyond everyone, almost makes him puke, which is a nice moment.
it is,
no, because awesome. Of what's they'd set off the fire alarms and stuff with the rain and Wolverine and Charles try to pretend to be some kind of inspectors from some agency that they don't even have the letters to. Like, we're from the FQZC, you know, like
we're from all the. That's a funny scene because he's used to persuading people so easily with his powers, but he still thinks he's persuasive even without his powers.
Even though he doesn't have them.
He realizes how bad he actually is at it without his powers.
Yeah.
So from then, the CXY. Yeah.
And this is where we get a super cool sequence where, you know, all the guards show up and start shooting at them, but then Quicksilver just pushes all the bullets out of the way and makes them all hit each other and knock each other down.
Ralph Boner.
That is Ralph Boner. making them all, like, all the guards get knocked out because of his abilities. So they escape, get on their private jet, and head off to where they're going. There's a bit of a reconciliation between Magneto and Professor X, where Magneto reveals that he didn't assassinate JFK. He was captured while trying to save JFK, because JFK was a mutant as well. And Charles realizes that he is so blind about the fact that which is so dumb, because Charles' whole thing is about hope. Like, it's all about hope. Hope that the world can be better. Hope that, you know, people can be better than this. And then Magneto's like, oh, they're definitely not. They just killed their mutant president. And, you know, and they experimented and killed all of these people. Including the white, like all these people that were former friends of his or people connected to him, the White Queen, Angel, Azazel, have all been killed by the government.
Banshee. I like that you call this reconciliation, because to me it was not that at all. They were just
kind of
going at it, and Beast was like, "Shut up, you two! Like, let me fly this jet, and like, you guys stop going at it." Like,
because Magneto offers to play chess with him, and then he refuses, and then when Magneto tells him the truth about the president. He relents and say, let's play chess. So, like, he's realizing that perhaps he was too. But it's also like the guy that's. I mean, it's like saying that the guy that's whole path is that, like, we can find a peaceful way to solve this problem. And the other guy, it's like, no, we have to kill them all because they're going to kill us first. And then the second guy goes, look, I was completely right because they're experimenting and murdering us left and right. And then the other guy's like, oh shit, you were right. Let's be friends again. But that doesn't really change his, like, attitude, you know.
Let's play some chess.
Yeah.
Fassbender Magneto is such a loose unit, man. He just loses his shit all the time.
He does.
Like, you were hiding, you and Hank. I'll take this airplane down. It's just like, chill. Chill, man. Everyone else is more chill than you right now. Like,
and then Hank growls and everyone calms down.
Yeah. Although it was kind of cool when like he was getting upset during that argument, because he's like, because that was part of Magneto's argument, was that he was out there trying to do something and they were hiding in the school. And when he's getting upset, the plane is like, the metal is moving and stuff, which is, you know, gets to show that how he had troubles with his powers in the previous movie. That's no longer an issue. He's figured out a way to access them at their full capability. So then we see Mystique do that fun pin you to the wall with my foot maneuver that she does in every movie, because that's one thing she did in one movie 10 years ago, and now she has to do it all the time.
They don't really use her powers very well. I mean, they didn't have the budget, but she doesn't like turn into anything crazy. She just basically has like slippy slide powers, and she sort of has like Spider-Man powers.
Although one thing in this movie, which is cool, is we do get a lot of close up of her eyes, and they make them look really cool, because they're like, instead of just being like the black way they were before, they're like all these little dots around them. So that like it's like one big one and then little ones. And I don't know, she looks really cool.
They kind of make her look cells or something.
They make her a little more otherworldly looking than like a little more alien looking than she did before, which is kind of cool. So there's this Japanese business guy that's connected to the Sentinel program that she breaks in to get some more details from, fucks him up. You know, we get all that stuff between them all going back off to the school. So this is the moment basically where the big moment they have to stop from happening. So they're having a meeting with Trask, where Trask is trying to prove that that the Sentinels can be used to detect mutants and stop them. When he turns it on, someone in the room is a mutant, and then the Asian guy that Mystique had replaced is discovered to be her. She gets in a big fight and beats everyone up, and is about to kill Trask, which was the whole thing that would set off this dark future. But then she is stopped by our heroes who arrive. And there's a big old fight where, they're trying to rescue her, but then Magneto takes a gun and tries to kill her, because he says the only way to stop it. Magneto always takes, every single time, takes the most extreme way to prevent this. Every single time. Like, instead of just helping them with their plan, he's like, if they get access to her DNA, they're going to use it to make these things and kill us all. So we have to kill her now. You know, and he's just going to shoot her in the head right there. She manages to fight off and escape. He's a bullet gets shot at her, and then he twists it and manages to make it go through her calf while she tries to escape out the window. So, that's all going on.
And then pulls her backwards later with the bullet that
through the
bullet.
That was cool.
That looks like it would be very painful.
That is so cool, though. Like, visually, I'm like, ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
During this altercation, one of the soldiers in the room, Wolverine, sees his tag and realizes it's Stryker. And he has kind of some PTSD about this whole relationship with Stryker and the Weapon X program and everything from his memories from the past, which start making the connection between him and Kitty lose a bit in the past. So he lashes out with his claws while he's freaking out. Before Magneto can pacify him using his powers, he slices Kitty in the side, which looks pretty rough. So he has a moment where he's away, but then his mind goes back to the future. So then the Wolverine in the past is back to being past Wolverine, doesn't remember Xavier or anything to do with what's going on. Xavier tries to convince him he's having a bad acid trip, which is kind of funny. He's like, you've slipped some bad acid, man. You know,
I don't think that would work on Wolverine.
But then basically in the future, they managed to get it back and he's back in his body. But during the altercation outside, when Magneto is chasing Mystique and trying to get her, he pulls her by the bullet in her leg and pulls her back to him, which is really cool. It looks so cool. Agonizingly painful. But then he's stopped by Beast, who knocks him into a fountain and is trying to drown him, basically. But then Magneto uses powers to kind of pacify Beast, but during all that, Mystique gets away.
Kind of strings him up.
Yeah, puts some metal around him and strings him up, which is fun because like Magneto doesn't actually kill anyone, right? Like, he doesn't want to kill them. He just
said Mystique, you must kill her.
Well, yeah, because he thinks. I guess if you always sum Magneto up, because this it's kind of on brand with every decision he's made in the movies up till now, even the old Magneto. Like, it's always like, by any means necessary. Like, it sucks, but this is what has to be done. And he just picks the most extreme way to it's like scorched earth every time. Like, the only way to make this happen is to kill the humans. The only way to make this happen is to turn all the humans into mutants. The only way to make this happen is to kill Mystique and torture her body, I guess, so they don't get her DNA. Like
in the Bob Skier script, he did the Radio Theater of Two. It's just like, look, it sucks, but we have to nuke the world.
Yeah, exactly. There's no other way. So when Wolverine's coming back to terms, they come back to him during all this altercation. Trask gets away, Stryker gets away, but gets a good look at Wolverine before he gets away, which sort of might give him more interest into Wolverine for later, which comes in other movies that we've already seen. But all of the stuff with the fight between Mystique and Magneto and Beast was all captured by the news. So it's all on TV and everyone's freaking out that we have this footage of mutants now and all the terrible things they can do and their abilities, to which Trask uses this to turn the president to give him the money he needs to start the Sentinel program.
See, that's where I'm like, they're making it worse. Now there's all these, they're just creating all these mutant incidents.
Well, in the past, they were like, Trask gets killed by a mutant, and then that gets Mystique killed, but then they're like, well, we're going to use Trask's technology to make these Sentinels and use Mystique's DNA to enhance them so they can copy other people's powers. Which isn't something she can do. She can just change her appearance. But anyway. We see Raven. I guess she says in this movie, don't call her that anymore. So we'll stick with Mystique. We see her getting her leg fixed at some, you know, night nurse type place somewhere. We also get, actually, which is a super cool scene, of Magneto looking at, he got some of those files about the Sentinels as well. And he sets it up to make a projector, but he's also stitching the back of his own head using his powers. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah,
from the fight with Beast, his head got busted open, and he's just like looking at this thing, and then you see the needle, going through. But then we get of course, why would the news take footage of this? But while the news is on TV about what happened that day, they see some crime people swapping blood from Mystique off the ground and putting it into something, meaning they're getting your DNA already. This is also the 80s. DNA collection.
It was not great.
Fair, right?
I mean, we couldn't use it to solve crimes yet or any of that stuff, but I guess it was starting. So, you know, Mystique's getting a vibe that regardless of what happened just then, they're still going to get her DNA, whether she lives or not. But he still wants to ensure that she's. So he goes to leave, but then she uses her powers to get a jump on him and put a knife to his throat in the subway or at the airport. I can't tell which one it was. But then they have an altercation. She says that the Trask is the problem, not her, and they got to get rid of him because it seems like the future is going to happen regardless of if he lives or not, because it's already starting to. They have her DNA now and all this sort of stuff.
And Beast makes a point that maybe like time is immutable, and
yeah. But then Professor X says something along the he says something along the lines of that he doesn't want to live in that world or whatever. That like hope, he needs to believe that things can change. So Professor X's power.
Which is the most Professor X this Professor X says in this entire
movie. Well, he's a broken man. He tried to do this hopeful thing and it just got a bunch of people killed. So, you know, that's kind of...
Welcome to leading the X-Men, Xavier. Yeah, that's going to happen to you about 400 more times.
Well, I actually really like the moment that this leads to, because this is before he realizes later his true strength, which is embracing that. Not embracing that they all have to die, but just embracing that too. Has like his profound empathy is like a weakness, but it's also a great strength.
Is this the part when future Charles talks to past Charles?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. I'll get there because
got something to say about that.
That is the best. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Wolverine convinces Professor X's powers start coming back. Wolverine says that they need him to be him. Bully him in order to do this and to stop taking this drug. And they kind of make him out like almost like a heroin addict. He's taking a needle and he's all strung out looking, so he agrees and he stops taking the medicine, gets back in the chair, and his powers start coming back. We see Trask working on the program, seeing details of how Mystique's samples of Mystique's DNA from that blood thing, and realizing that there's applications that he can use it in the Sentinel program. this is where he's realizing that he could maybe use what he sees in her DNA to enhance the Sentinels to become the Sentinels we know from the future.
Nimrods.
Now that Professor X's powers are back, he can use Cerebro, which they use to try to locate Raven. And then Wolverine, this is the moment. So then Wolverine, like Charles is losing hope. And Wolverine, now that he can use the powers, he wants him to commune with him so that he can follow the pathway to the future and talk to himself. Old Charles and young Charles have a little tete-a-tete.
Ooh, it is the best. I don't want your future. I don't want your suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, those were some deep, like,
so
moments.
Much pain.
Yes.
It's not their pain you're worried about, is it, Charles? It's yours.
Like, yeah. I was like, deep, if you're like, oh my gosh, if I could talk to my old self and explain what would hurt me and what didn't, I'm like, oh gosh, you're killing me over here. I'm like, don't cry, young Daniel, don't cry. Don't cry, young Dan, bit, don't cry.
So, don't cry, young Dan, bit, you'll leave the Thieves Guild one day.
Exactly.
But it's a great moment where Charles basically tells him that, like, you know, you're going to see a lot of hardship, a lot of pain, you're going to see a lot of people get hurt. But your strength is that you have to expose yourself to it and help them through it. Like, that's what you're needed for. And you
look
know
at those action figures behind Danbit there.
Oh yeah,
dude, we're gonna go over all these later. I have so many from 97 that are opening up tomorrow, and then some additional ones, and then some Danbit stickers. But
we'll good, because we're gonna talk about 97 here at the end.
Oh yeah, we got a ton of
97. No, we don't want to talk. We don't want to talk about that. There's no need to talk about that. I think I don't think anyone's interested in that.
I'm freaking out here.
It's not 97 Eve or anything. So
Devin's having a minor. Yeah, don't forget to leave your milk and cookies out for, you know, X Claws or
Charles Claws. I already sent the Lee Wald's milk and cookies in the mail.
No, that's I hope they don't drink or eat them, because they're probably going to be bad by the time they reach them. So we see
there is a note accompanying them saying not to eat it.
We hope you appreciate that thought.
Yeah.
So we go back to the future. We see that Rogue is having trouble keeping things together because of her injury. Bobby reveals that apparently he knows someone that can take her abilities and use them to complete the job, which is Rogue, who they believe is still alive or is dead because they can't.
And maybe kill her. Just like, yeah, she can take your abilities and complete the job, but it might.
But then Iceman, it doesn't matter because we got intel. She's being held in some secret place and being experimented on, so we can go get her now. But like, why didn't you bring this up before now?
Like, but why
didn't they go rescue Rogue
in the Xavier Mansion? Like,
yes,
yeah. Mansion. Like, what how secret is that?
They had to cut this stuff. It was so full of holes.
Yeah, they really didn't need it. It was a nice way to bring her back in the thing, I guess, but it was not necessary at all. So I can see why they cut it. So Charles uses Cerebro again now that he's been
still not Rachel. Let's have Kitty do it. This weird time thing. No, let's have Rogue do it. Sure.
Well, honestly, and I know I make a lot of excuses for the reason they do this is different from the comics, but they're also trying to like show the people that watch these movies the characters they're familiar with.
I know.
So
you're right.
Anywho, Charles now
fan service. They call
a new leaf. Well, I mean, it's not. I think it'd be fan service if they put in Rachel for no reason just to appease you, because then they're
it's putting in Rachel because it makes sense power wise.
No, it only makes sense if you know anything about the comics.
Well, tell me how Kitty, what she does,
it doesn't sense. At all. But I mean, they could have. You're right. They could have used another character. They could have used.
No, but like it's because Rachel looks kind of like Jean that makes people understand that.
You know, they could have even said they could have put Forge in it and then had Forge like enhance Cerebro in a way that lets Cerebro do it. Like
that would have worked.
That would have been
anything would have been better than what they did.
Yeah, which they was done lots of things. They could have been like, hey, look, in the future, because it's the future, we can now use Cerebro to send consciousness back in time, and all that.
And they could have. They could have broken into the mansion and had that whole break into the mansion scene to use Cerebro and like with Forge's new enhancement.
Yeah.
And like that would have been cool as shit. I like that better version of the movie.
Well, I'll write it someday and it won't get made. So
we'll radio theater it.
Say what you want about James McAvoy. He's pretty good. He's really good in this, I think. He's a good actor. He's great in this.
And I do think Fassbender owns the character a little better in this one. I didn't much care for him in the last one.
Well, he seems a little closer to the character we know. But I always find it funny that, like, at the end of the last movie, they're like, he's wearing the full Magneto garb. He's even got the, like, they even make him really cartoony looking at the end when he's like, I prefer Magneto. And then he never wears any of that again. like, so.
In this one, he does, though.
Well, I feel like when they made the last movie, there wasn't a surety they would make a sequel to that movie. They were just doing a prequel to the X-Men movies. Mm. But I did think this is a fun way to unite the two worlds. You know, I mean, if anything mm-hmm. could, this is the smartest way to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty effective.
So Charles reaches out, uses Cerebro, finds Raven, who's at a bus station or train station going off somewhere to try to connect with her and get her to
the C train. Back to them.
They're not New York, though, right? This is the only place in New York. Are they in Washington?
That fiery chamber of hell, you don't want to go to the C train.
So Beast asks Wolverine if he makes it. Wolverine tells him no unceremoniously. He's like, nope. And then like Beast is like, oh, and goes to leave. And he goes, well, that's just the world I'm from. Like, we can change this, basically. So then Beast is surprised by Raven, who didn't actually get in the train, said she realized she had nowhere to go and came back.
She's a sneaky one, full of mystique.
So then she comes on to Beast. Beast beasts out. But then, you know, realizes...
I feel like this same make-out scene happens in every movie with Mystique, but...
No, it's actually nice because they did have a connection in the previous movie, you know, that was like if Beast had been enough to realize that, you know, he's beautiful the way he is. What the hell is that?
Ooh, yeah, damn it. You're getting some mad sound there now. Yeah.
Yeah, you muted him,
Andre. We'll work that out.
Okay. Are you just going to leave Dambit muted?
For a minute.
Okay, he's shrugging. He doesn't know what happened. Are you sure it's him?
Oh, yeah.
All right, put it back off. Let's see. What could that be?
I don't know.
He looks so sad. Okay.
All right, continue, Andre.
All right. Well, anyway, so Magneto or Mystique says, like, if you said that I was not that she was ugly, but she wasn't beautiful in her natural form, basically is what the vibe was last time. He says that she is.
She had him there, though.
Yeah. And then he says, well, you know, she says, you need to accept that you're beautiful in your own form. And he kind of can't do that. So he's still not over the fact that he's what he is. So did you just kick poor Dambit out of the feed?
I told him to leave and come back and see what happens. See if that fixes anything.
So, you know, he tells her to rest up and they'll get back together the next day, basically, or reconnect with everyone. Meanwhile, we see Magneto in the past going on a mission at the same time that Magneto in the future and Iceman are going to rescue Rogue from where she's being experimented on. But the Magneto in the past... I was basically breaking into an office. It's like a low hum.
Yeah, it's like a hum.
Unplug your headphones, Dambit.
Yeah, unplug the headphones for a sec.
There you go.
There you go. Does that work?
No, it's worse. Cause now
it's not worse. It's actually slightly better.
No, there's an echo.
How weird. There's just literally nothing around me. Going on at all?
No, it's a computer thing. It's your microphone, I think.
Why would it suddenly go bad?
It does sound like it's making a little sound. Hold on. Plug it. All right. Yeah. Mute me. I'll be here in a second.
Yep. All right. Continue on.
So while they're rescuing Rogue from this facility, the Sentinels find them. Bobby gets killed by them. The Rogue gets to see him get killed and melted apart. His arm melts off, which is kind of fun. They get her back to the ship, try to escape. This is in the future. So in the past, Magneto went and got his helmet back from the government office where he was kidnapped using his abilities. And then in the future, we see them rescue Rogue. While they're trying to escape in the Blackbird with Magneto and Cesarex and Rogue, Sentinel grabs on and there's a bit of some flying there to get him off the ship. What they don't realize is that the Sentinel left behind a tracking device. And in the past, while everyone's sleeping and they think Mystique's back with them, she goes in and smashes Cerebro so they can't trace her anymore. Basically, McCoy realizes he's been had. But there's a big thing going on where the government's going to unveil their new project, which since Nixon's back to Sentinels, this is the revelation of the Sentinel. Sentinel's coming out.
Let's contrast these Sentinels for a minute. These Nixon era Sentinels are not scary at all.
They look much closer to the classic ones.
But they look so flimsy. They would defeat no mutants. But the Nimrods are actually, though they kind of like gave them a very generic design, are actually quite intimidating and scary.
Yeah, because they're almost like skeletal. Not skeletal, but like lizards or something. So they unveil the Sentinel program, but then they also don't reveal that Magneto had used his when he was preparing for all of this, he'd figured out a way to get pieces of metal and various metal things to get the robot. At one point, Trask mentioned that the Sentinels would be completely plastic and that metal wouldn't work on them. But Magneto has no problem controlling them using his powers. So Magneto shows up.
Forgotten they used copper wiring?
I guess so. So Magneto actually like, which is actually a pretty cool scene of his ability. So they're going to give this big speech about this program, but Magneto had reprogrammed the Sentinels using his abilities before all this went down. So the Sentinels start attacking people that are there at this press conference, this rally. Then Magneto takes an entire stadium that uses his powers to levitate and then drops it completely around the White House, which is kind of neat. And then there's a big fight that way, which is like humans running from the Sentinels that are shooting at them. And Mystique was trying to assassinate Trask, but then Professor X managed to find her in her form and stop her from doing that. So during all this fight, Magneto turns in the future, the Sentinels find our heroes. And our heroes are all dying, trying to Storm and Bishop and all those guys die from Sentinels, trying to stop them from getting into the Inner Sanctum where Rogue takes over for Kitty. As the Sentinels are coming in, we're kind of juxtapositioning between them and the past, in which Magneto is using the Sentinels to fuck everything up, smash big holes, rip everything out. He makes all the TV cameras that were there for the
that part I like.
And he wants them to see. He basically uses the cameras as a plea to the other mutants in the world to say, "Look, this we are better than them, and they're going to keep trying to kill us with things like these Sentinels. So you have to join me, or you'll never be free."
And we see cutting back and forth between the future shots of them, like all getting slaughtered.
And we see other mutants in the past seeing this video, and like Toad and other ones that come to join him later. So this is probably where those connections get made. But then before he's able to do that, he's shot by Mystique, who uses one of the plastic guns with the bullets. He says, "You used to be a better shot." She says, "I am." Meaning she didn't want to kill him. She just wanted to stop him. She shoots him through the neck, but like off to the side. She's going to kill Trask, but she's convinced by Charles to stop hiding and using violence to solve her problems and to kind of be the real her. She has kind of a change of heart and walks off. And he also lets Magneto go. Magneto's just like, if they capture me, they're going to kill me. And he's like, "I know they will." And then he's like, "See you, old friend." He just floats away. Till I try to fuck up the world next time.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Magneto's life is a litany of tragedies. You can understand why he's a monster in the future, because the next movie they're like, "Well, he had a wife and kid and they got killed too." they're just like every and then this one they're like, all of his friends from the previous movie all dead now. And then they're like, "Oh wait, he found some peace with a wife and a kid." "Oh no, wait, they got them killed too." So
and he tries to kill his only friend left, like Mystique in this movie. He's like, me and her were friends.
I have almost zero memories of Apocalypse. Whenever we get around to that, I'll be interested again. But the idea of this one, it's like, just they have to make him a former, like a villain again. Because at the end of every movie, they kind of redeem him a little bit. And then they always have to make him villainous again in the next movie. So, So here we are. Then, the past has been changed. We get to the future.
Want him to be good so bad in these movies. They can't make up their mind.
During the fight, Magneto covers Wolverine in metal and sends him away, which drops him in the middle of the river, which he sinks to the bottom. None of them really think to go look for him later. But
that's one way you can kill Wolverine. He can drown.
Then in the future, we see Wolverine. They ask what happened to Wolverine. And in the future, we see him wake up. And he's in a nice future where, you know, the school exists. And Beast is there as a teacher. And he's a teacher of history. You know, we see that Jean and Scott are still married and are still alive and are married together. And he's got a perfect, happy future until we get to Logan. But for now, it's all very nice. And we get like a happy ending. So the X-Men are all back together in the future. He goes and meets with Charles. And then he tells Charles that he's finally gone through what happened. Because Charles remembers this happening in the past, but Wolverine wouldn't until it happened to him. So until he had that consciousness. But why would Charles remember that they sent Wolverine? Well, I guess he'd remember that Wolverine had been sent to the past. So Charles wouldn't remember the evil, the mutants. You know, he wouldn't remember the Sentinels and the horrible future we had.
You could just read Wolverine's mind.
Yeah, that too. But anyway, so at this point, Wolverine reveals that he's gone through that now. So he has those memories now too. And then they get to reconnect and talk about all that. Because Charles had to keep it quiet until Wolverine got there in his own timeline. And and then we see.
Oh, we didn't show. Look at this.
I said Bobby got melted. He got his arm melted.
I know,
but
I got the picture there.
Look how skinny he looks.
I know, he's melting so slowly. It's so weird because
wouldn't his body still have the. Like when he ices up, he ices around his body.
No.
He literally just turns to an ice man, a literal ice man. So yeah. How does his blood work or his heart?
He doesn't. These days, he's unkillable. Like you can destroy him.
He's sentient to ice.
He can just coalesce back into.
So he's Hydro Man.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So then the end. Also, we see Wolverine in the past body get dredged out of the river by Stryker, assuming that puts him on the path of which he goes to the Weapon X program and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. They definitely connect a lot of things to varying degrees of success.
And we get two post-credit sequences. One is Trask. Also, there's a scene. I forgot a few things. In the past, Kitty's told that Bobby's dead, or in the future, by Rogue, and they have like a little moment, but you can tell, obviously, they both cared about him. So then we have two post-credit sequences. One is just to show that Trask is now in jail, Oliver Trask. He's got a little beard. He actually kind of looks like the dwarf character he plays in Avengers Endgame. It's almost, this might be a prequel to it.
Petri.
And then we also see a little moment of a teenage mutant assembling pyramids in the past while everyone chants En Sabaoth Nur, which is our connection to the next movie, which we get Apocalypse.
En Sabaoth Nur. Well,
the end.
Each of us will have to look into his own heart and decide.
All right, Andre. Sad. Daniel will be back after a restart, I think. All right.
Sad,
I say.
I'd say an 8. It's pretty good, man.
All right. Let's go 8 for Andre.
I gave X2 a 9. This is pretty close.
You gave the Wolverine an 8.
Did I?
Yeah.
We're not doing points in this, right?
No.
I'll give it an 8. There are some plot holes. Enough that I, you know, enough strangeness, but I did really like all the dynamics of the characters. It really feels like they built to something good with everything they brought before for the most part, aside a few just because logics. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put this one between the Wolverine and X2. I think the Wolverine's still better. The Wolverine might be my favorite X-Men movie. That's funny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
well, even more than Logan, eh?
Well, we'll see when we get there. There's things I don't like about them. There's things I don't like about all of them, though.
I know, buddy. You're never going to get the perfect movie. I think they could make something that's almost one exactly what will. Everybody wants, but it'll never be the perfect Davin movie because it's not the movie you have in your head.
Oh, wait, no, I gave the Wolverine a 7. Now I'm going to give this one a 6.
Really?
Yeah, that's like low. Just as much as X2. Well, that's what I gave X2.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You like him right, like the Wolverine better than X2.
Dan's back and he sounds good.
All right, I sound okay, guys. Right?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, good. Sorry about that.
I've had a lot of bad computers in my life, and I know that when the fans get wonky, if you restart, sometimes it gives buys you like a half an hour.
Exactly. You're very wise.
So we made it to, says we've he made... had the opportunity to see the Rogue Cut at Comic-Con. He passed to see the new Vacation movie.
What, the one with Ed Helms? The Ed Helms Vacation movie? The one where, oh my God.
Jamil didn't like it. This road cut, and glad he skipped it.
Well, oh, that's good. Good for Jamil.
All right.
I hope he enjoyed Ed Helms' Vacation sequel. I'm sure that was a cinematic masterpiece. Far better than this.
All right, so Andre gave it an 8. I gave it a 6. What say you, Danbit?
I'm always a little bit high on, you know, high rate things. I was going to give it an 8.5.
We don't do decimal points on this show.
I'm going up to I'm going up to 9. I just love it. I thought it was great.
It's pretty great. I did really like
it. I thought it was great. There's so many characters and so many, from the regular. Yeah. Overall, Days of Future Past was just an amazing story. And I was not optimistic when it first came out, but after seeing it so many times,
you convinced me. I'm bumping it up to a 7.
It's pretty great. It's a pretty fun movie. We do get CD Magneto. We do get like Sentinels, two versions of Sentinels. We get past and future characters. We get like some building of the world. I don't know. It feels like it's a pretty great movie.
And look at that. It ties X2 in our overall average over there on the right.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Nice.
All right. Ready for some fun points?
Oh, you got some points?
I got lots of shit about this movie.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go.
Well, I got a bunch of facts.
I think Dan has some too. You guys can go back and
forth. Oh, I do too. Yeah, let's go for it, Andre. Let's hear it.
Because I didn't prepare at all, so you guys go right ahead.
Oh, apparently well, let me go through all the differences. Or do you want to save that until later?
No, do that.
Okay. So the alternate version of the film has been released to hear all the differences between this and the original cut. Additional footage of pitch of deceased mutants on a wall that are extended dialogue when Wolverine and the other mutants are discussing what can be done.
David's got something to say about that, I think.
Go ahead. No, I got both those. So they're both of my points. Oh. So yeah, exactly. Okay. The wall of mutants and the dialogue between the mutants in the future are 1 and 2 for me.
There's an extra scene with Kitty and Iceman before she sends Wolverine back into the past, which is sort of about their relationship. I think it's where we see them kiss and stuff. I don't remember if that was in the previous one.
So strange.
The fight with Wolverine is when he wakes up in this past body is longer and grittier. It's a lot more violent in this version.
And there was like a PG-13 version of that too, because doesn't he wake up and show his behind?
Yeah, he was always naked. The original.
Was he always naked?
Yeah, he was always naked. Yeah.
Oh, God, I just think that I just go through my mind so easily.
That's why people remember this movie so fondly.
Exactly. Oh,
good shape, man.
The buttocks.
The whole scene where Wolverine gets in the car and tells the girlfriend from the past to get lost, basically, that's all new. The whole sequence inside the X-Mansion, Wolverine is talking to Beast Professor X about the future was longer. There's extra stuff in there.
Yep.
That was a pretty good ad.
There's the scene where anything with Rogue basically is new, obviously. So when Iceman saw him going to rescue her. The conversation
they had to cut because it just makes them all seem like such assholes. For
the conversation between Charles and it really does.
It really like they had to cut it. It just gutted the whole movie. But
the conversation.
So I would say the road cut is not better just based on that because I think they had to cut it.
Yeah, I don't think they needed any of that. Unfortunately, no. I mean, obviously it's nice seeing Anna Paquin, but I don't think they needed any of that.
Yeah,
I don't think they needed any of it. But the I have it separated into the road cut. Favorite parts and the original favorite parts. And, you know, like you said, the Wall of Mutants was super cool. The vote to see if they would send Wolverine back was super cool. 18-year-old Daniel was brokenhearted when Iceman got killed when he went to go save Rogue.
He killed three times in this movie.
Yeah. Killed 18-year-old Daniel's, favorite crush. And then
the melting was brutal. I think you were gone when I brought that image up.
They melted his head off
before and then stepped on it. So
there was a reason why I was gone. And then Rogue's costume was super hot. I thought she looked amazing.
I did like her future
so
fashion.
Cute with her like grayish white, whatever color that is. And then her hair to match it. But again, one thing I could say is that we could have done so much more with Rogue And I guess they knew that they're going to cut her, which is why they did that. But like, God, we could have done so much more with Rogue. So
So here's the thing. I didn't know what this Rogue cut entailed for Rogue. So why I was disappointed is I was thinking like, this is it. They're going to have her fly in and like punch the shit out of somebody. We're going to get Rogue. Like, this is the Rogue cut. We're going to get super powered Rogue. But no, we didn't get that.
It would have been cool if they had some kind of way to make her more like the Rogue from the, you know, like the one that had Ms. Marvel's abilities.
If Kitty can send people to 1973 and know that's 1973, then Rogue can fly in and punch a Nimrod Sentinel for the fans.
Right.
All right.
Do you guys have a favorite top three favorite Days of Future Past moments that you could, I mean, Andre, you've kind of gone in depth onto everything that we've seen. Yeah. Do you guys have a top three or at least a top one that you would say are your favorite moments?
Probably Charles meeting Charles. That's mine. Probably. I mean, there's a lot of cool action stuff, but it's a nice scene.
Daphne, yeah. Anything?
I always found that final confrontation with the Nimrods pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, Magneto trying to hold them off and then
basically all of them are going to have to die. Desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting watching these characters you've known for like a bunch of movies, you know, see them basically about to get it, even though you know in your heart of hearts it's probably not going to happen because, you know, it's a movie. But, you know, it was intense. It brought some of that intensity to the darkness of the future from the comic Days of Futures Past.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, Andre. My number one scene was Charles. Future Charles, past Charles, like that was just so like, oh God, it hit everywhere that I didn't want it to hit.
Well, it really hammers home like Charles as a character about how like it's all about hope. Like he lives on hope, and that's what you need is hope to get through all these dark times. It really fucks everything up by like, especially at the end of this movie, you see Wolverine get his happy future ending. And then later on, they're like, oh, here's Logan, where they're all dead again because Charles got them all killed. It really like that. It's almost too bleak to be bleak. It would have been much better if they were, I don't know. I don't know if they had to go that route. It just sort of robs everything of what it got up to this point. I guess we have the past movies to sort of rely on, but.
And he knew the depths of despair he was in as a young man too. And he's like, not even confident. He's just like that Wolverine can convince me. He's just like, look, I was the worst back then. Like, I was just a shit show. Like, a friggin' steaming hot mess. It's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Let's see here. We got, so at the airport exchange, that's a little different. It ends differently, and it's a bit longer. The whole scene where Beast asks Logan about his future, that's all new to this version. And the scene where him and the whole thing between him almost having sex with Mystique, that's all new to this version.
Jamil said he did like Ed Helms' thing better than the Rogue cut.
Jamil's an all or nothing kind of guy. He either loves something or really hates something. So that whole thing with Beast and her having an intimate moment, that's all new to this version. The whole stuff of them going back in time to rescue, or going back to the mansion to rescue Rogue, obviously. Mystique destroying Cerebro in the helmet, that's all new. So they can't track her down further. So like her going back to the X-Mansion was wiped from the regular version. There's a little scene when they react to the fact that she smashed the Cerebro helmet. And there's a little more dialogue of Charles in the crowd. So not like ridiculous tons of stuff, but a few, like the stuff with Mystique and Beast I liked. Like, I admit that we don't need the Rogue stuff, but that would have been nice to have in the other version.
Yeah.
Yep, that and like then letting the other characters in the future talk more. That was a good addition.
All right, I'll point out some fun. Let me see here. So we don't need that part. That part's done. I got some fun continuity errors.
There's a lot of them. Go for it.
In the just dumb stuff. But in the plane when they go to play chess, black starts, which is white always starts in chess, which is funny. Mm-hmm.
Mutants always start with black first.
Quicksilver uses the Pong thing, and the Pong thing moves really fast because he's moved really fast, but that's not how the machine works. Like, it wouldn't have worked that way. Even if he was moving the stick that fast, the machine couldn't go that much faster. Like, it's not like that. Just some of the scenes take place in January, different days. It'll match up with the weather. Stryker's wearing a silver ribbon with V for Valor. The V device is not awarded with the silver star, so it's two separate things. And there's some other stuff too, but I don't know. Super. There's one other thing about the Star Trek episode that's playing in the background about time travel.
Oh, the city or the city naked on the time forever.
The naked time.
Naked time.
So yeah, like they have two. Oh, I think my cat's in there. Ripley.
Yeah, I saw that happening.
No, you see her
in the background. Do you see her?
Can you see her back there? She's behind the guitar.
Yeah.
Causing trouble.
I was watching it all happen. It was fun.
What are you doing? You're being bad on the internet. Everyone Ripley. Can see
it's all on camera. The evidence.
But last night, so when we first got her as a kitten, she would crawl. We have a wood pile in the basement for a wood stove, and she would crawl. She crawled on the wood pile, and then got into the rafters in the basement, and then crawled up into some other things. So then I put like piece of an old sign, like 4 mil up there, so she couldn't get in the rafters anymore. And then last night, I was at my computer, and I could hear something in the floor under my feet, and she had gotten back up there again. Now as an adult cat. So last night, in the middle of the night, I had to get plastic to staple over it where she went up, so she couldn't get up there again. And woke my wife up because the staple gun was pretty loud. So those are all those errors. Let's get to the fun stuff. These are all the notes, the trivia stuff about it. So eventually the script called for Logan to wake up in 73 in boxer shorts. Jackman vetoed this in favor of waking up nude, saying in Australia, if you're next to a really good looking girl, you're not getting out with boxer shorts on or briefs or anything.
Sounds good to me.
I think that's true here in Nova Scotia as well.
Sir Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, Surrey McKellen, were performing a touring production of Waiting for Godot when Singer approached the end to reprise the roles for this film. They're utterly shocked. They thought they'd pass the roles on and they didn't need to come back. So they're surprised they had to come back and do this. But they liked the idea of returning to play two of their most popular roles with, you know, the younger versions that they passed the torch on to. Let's see. Including his cameo in First Class Wolverine, this is Jackman's seventh portrayal of Logan. He's the only actor to appear in every X-Men movie in the franchise up to Logan, which was the last time playing the character, though he slated to play him again in Deadpool 3. So, Bryan Singer picked Peter Dinklage to play Bolivar Trask because of his height.
Okay.
He said because
of it. They can't pick a Wolverine actor because of his height.
So something to add to the character, like they said, with his dwarfism, he's kind of a mutant himself. He can't move metal or anything, but the thought is he has this deep self-loathing about it, which is why he's sensitive and also is quick to make them lesser than him because he's still human, which is a nice, you know, which adds a little depth to the character. So I saw her, she came out there.
Yep.
The filmmakers selected this particular version because it would allow them to combine the franchises with using time travel, which is why they did that.
Now you got a new cat going in there. Did you put cat food in your closet or something?
No, he's probably just investigating if she was in there.
Well, there's two cats back there now.
Ripley's back now.
There's three of them wandering around. That's Ripley's the black one, the black, you know, calico one. Lebowski's the white and orange one. And Sheba's the all gray one if you see her, but she's less common than those two.
I think Lebowski is the most popular one on this.
Oh, definitely.
He shows up a lot. He likes to jump up here because he knows I have to pet him when he's right here. So so let's see here. According to Bryan Singer, he can only get the movie started with confidence once Hugh Jackman and the other guys agreed. The Quicksilver scenes were filmed in a special 3,600 frames per second. So he moved 150 times faster than normal, the way the camera was used for those close-ups. Bishop is the first mutant Kitty Pryde sends through time. This is an homage to him being the first time traveler in the X-Men comics.
I do find it ironic that like the mutant who most protests time travel is Bishop in their little conversation. She's like, whoa, this time travel stuff's risky. It could mess with all our lives. She's like, dude, you're Bishop. That's what you do. You go back in time and mess with people's lives.
Sir Patrick Stewart enjoyed McAvoy's lighthearted version of Charles in the previous movie and used this to make Charles a little jollier in the future, which you notice he seems a little less somber. So the original Days of the Future Past comic mentioned time travel from the time travelers come back from the year 2013. So the same year in which filming began in this movie. So the future is implied to take place in 2023 in this movie, in the future. So, you know, we're out a year from the what could have been the Sentinel Nimrods. Overlords and Nimrods in the future.
It's a good thing they somehow went back in time and made it worse, yet fixed it at the same time.
I didn't notice this, actually, but I'll have to go back and look. At around the one-minute mark at the beginning of the film, as the mutants and humans emerge down a corridor, a quick glimpse is shown of an older Quicksilver from behind. He is directly in the center of the frame in his easy spot with the same hairstyle and hat as the younger self had in the movie.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I didn't notice that. I'll have to go back and look at that. Either. This was the first X-Men movie to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
Oh,
The Quicksilver slow motion.
They were pretty good, actually. Like,
yeah,
they were really a good. Lot like Sunspot and Iceman and Blink's blinking looked awesome.
Yeah.
So Quicksilver slow motion sequences filmed mostly with practical visual effects using high speed photography and stunt rigs. CGI was used for the objects in midair, like when they're all floating around. In the original comic storyline, Marvel heroes other than the X-Men are wiped out by Sentinels, such as Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Iron Man, Hulk, Fantastic Four, and someone who looks like the Silver Surfer was most likely Iceman. Let's see here. Originally, Josh Hellman was going to be cast as a young Kane Marco, aka Juggernaut, but Juggernaut was written out of the movie. And then Hellman was offered the role of young William Stryker instead. So he could have been young Juggernaut somehow. The guy played Stryker.
Juggernaut did not need to be in this movie.
No.
No.
Yeah,
he didn't need, he didn't need to be in
Juggernaut.
He didn't need to be in X3.
No, he didn't.
All right, so Bryan Singer based the time travel in this movie on string theory. Until an object is observed, it hasn't really happened yet. The time traveler's consciousness travels through time. I call the observer, and until the observer returns to where he traveled from, the result hasn't occurred yet. So he can muck about in the past. It isn't until he snaps back to his new future set. As a result, we have parallel action, and there's underlying tension because there's always that threat. Wolverine's consciousness could return to the future and leave the world an even darker place.
String theory is losing favor in the physics community.
Sir, what's the current one that all time happens at once? That one? The Kurt Vonnegut one, that all time is happening all the time. We're only at different points in time. I mean, he didn't invent that, but it's the one that I kind of like to believe because it makes it easier to accept death. That it's just the end of your time, but like time can be experienced at different points just when you're... Anyway, it's very, very indicative in Slaughterhouse 5. If you haven't read that book, I highly suggest it. They did some makeup to make the McKellen and Patrick Stewart look younger.
I was wondering. They looked a little weird. If anything, it just made them look a little weird.
Well, they used digital makeup before, but this time they used practical effects to use makeup. To make them look. I thought they looked okay in this one. They didn't look all weird. Okay. Like they didn't
Magneto look all looked a little weird.
They didn't look all smooth faced like they did in the last one when they were in the past.
Yeah. Going to visit Jean, all very smooth faced.
No, that was so
there's
weird.
A couple of smooth faced gentlemen at the door, honey.
According to writer Simon Kinberg, Kitty was intended to be the time traveler, but it didn't work out. Kitty in the era of young Magneto and Xavier would have been 20 years old. The reflex response to that was a character who doesn't age. Wolverine is the only character who would look the same in 73 as he does in the future. Thus, Wolverine was picked as an ageless immortal character who could bridge the past and the future, which makes sense.
It makes sense.
Kitty wouldn't even been born yet, would she, in the 80s?
No.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
She would have been negative 20 years old, is what he said in the past. So. according to Bryan Singer, he had a two-hour discussion with James Cameron about how to make the time travel concept feasible and workable within the movie. The concepts the two discussed included quantum physics, alternate universes, and string theory. The only reason Jennifer Lawrence came back was that they found an easier way to put her in the Mystique outfit.
Which she was barely ever in anyway.
That I heard. Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah.
Because she was unwell from inhaling like particles from the stuff they'd have to spray to get the stuff to stick to her. So
not good.
A younger and an older version of Ink are visible in the mutant internment camp. Doesn't want the tattoo on his eye.
No.
He's accompanied by what's supposed to be an older version of Sabretooth, but I didn't notice that either. I'll have to take a look for that too. Halle Berry's role of Storm was substantially reduced due to the fact she was pregnant.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Originally, the prison break scene was conceived with Juggernaut in mind. He was meant to be a football player at the X-Mansion. However, he was replaced with Quicksilver. whose powers seem more stylish and smooth. So they would use Juggernaut to like run through walls and stuff to break them out. That would have been kind of interesting too. Quicksilver was great, but the idea that they literally just sending a tank into the Pentagon is kind of.
They already have a tank. They could have sent Colossus.
Well, this is in the past before Colossus was around, right? This is in the 70s. A life-size model of the 70s
back then.
Well, in the this world, he's just a mutant. Yeah. I didn't see the gem of Sidorak in the last battle or the last stand.
Gotta have the gem of Sidorak.
Life-size model of the 73 Sentinel robot was constructed for the film, so that's kind of fun. There's a life-size model of that out there somewhere.
That's cool.
Production designer described the future Sentinels as having evolved from machines into biomechanical weapons. That's why they look so different. They're almost made up of magnetic plates slapped over one another that move around. The two teaser posters for the movie were wanted posters, which are kind of fun. They're like Professor X and Magneto X over their faces, taken right from the comic. Matthew Vaughn was going to direct. Yeah, the guy that directed First Class. So Vaughn wanted to have it set in the 70s with Kennedy being assassinated by Magneto. And then the civil rights movement and Vietnam War. So they kept aspects of that. Let's see here. I'll read this whole thing. It's pretty interesting. So Matthew Vaughn was going to direct. He was going to make the movie a direct sequel to X-Men First Class and have it set in the 70s. Early ideas include an opening with the Kennedy assassination being caused by Magneto and mutant encounters set during the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War. When Singer took over, he integrated these concepts into the campaign for the movie. In this alternate history, Magneto was arrested in prison for the assassination of Kennedy, but maintains his innocence. Reference to the real-life magic bullet theory criticized by conspiracy theorists holds that the Warren Commission determined that Magneto manipulated Lee Harvey Oswald's bullets to kill the president in retribution for the murder of mutants. Though in the movie, Tempest was codenamed Angel. The CIA conspiracy theorist based on Magneto's testimony insists that Magneto tried to prevent the murder of
mutants. You're reading so fast, I can't even make out what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
If it's that long, just don't even bother.
I won't.
All right.
Let's see if there's anything else that's super exciting. Wolverine's
apartment. I didn't even know you could talk that fast. You sounded like Six from Blossom. You remember Blossom?
Oh, I sure do.
Actually, when I was a child, I used to have to really work on changing that because I used to speak so fast people couldn't understand me.
Oh, wow.
Wolverine's apartment is made up of shades of yellow and brown, as a nod to his costume. The working title of this was called, you know how like movies go under working titles before they reveal what movie they're working on? It was Hello Kitty was the working title.
That's awesome.
A romantic subplot between Storm and Wolverine in the future was filmed but cut for runtime purposes.
I could have left that in. I'm fine with those two together.
Bryan Singer based Oliver Trask on Adolf Hitler. What? He said Hitler used the Jews as a scapegoat to bond the darker parts of Europe. He's doing the same thing with mutants. But he wasn't a 6-foot perfect blood Aryan. He's a short, funny looking dude. according to Singer, the mutants Rachel Summers, Psylocke, Deadpool, Nightcrawler, Gambit, and Jubilee were meant to appear in the movie. But were all cut.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Stanley was
offered. They could have had a Jubilee cut of this movie.
Stanley was offered a cameo, but he opted out so he could attend Fan Expo in Canada and Toronto.
I was there. I'm glad he did. That's where I almost killed him.
Is that the same time?
I think so.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Also, in the movie, I mentioned this. I don't think I mentioned it, but Quicksilver mentions that his mom used to know someone that can control metal, implying that he could be his dad in this timeline or in this world.
Yeah.
And when Quicksilver asks Magneto if he knows karate, which is then.
You know Karate Man? That was pretty funny.
He says, I don't know karate, but I know crazy, which is the James Brown lyric from the song Payback, which is funny.
Karate.
Chris Claremont makes a cameo, as we see.
Yep.
Yeah, so this movie was ties a record previously held by Dark Knight Rises for the most Academy Award nominated actors and actresses in a single comic book movie.
Really?
A lot of folks in there. Some of them would have been, now. Some have gone on and probably made more stuff too. So, That's most of it. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of more stuff, but that's
all right. Well, let's get to it then.
Hey, look who I found coming to join the party.
Glad y'all decided to join the party.
Let's party like it's apostrophe 97 because it's apostrophe 97 in 4 hours. In 4 hours.
So what time? What time is it drop in Canada? Well, in our time zone,
4 a.m.
4 hours and 20 in 18 minutes.
Yeah, 4 hours and 18 minutes.
Are you gonna wake up at 4 a.m. to watch it, Devin?
6.
You're crazy. Well, I'll be watching when I get up.
Babies have me up at 7 anyway. We're like,
I was hoping it would drop right at midnight, and I was like, I might stay up and watch it then. But
I might even be up at 4 to watch it. Who knows? I don't sleep.
Wait, but do you guys have the toys from 97?
No, why don't you show us the toys?
Oh, thank you guys for asking so much. Yeah. what do you want to say first? Hold on, let me move my Danbit cards out of the way.
First Storm. Oh, Danbit. Damn it. Right, let's get a close up on those Danbit stickers.
On those Danbits, yeah. So I ordered a bunch, and some other people I know ordered some as well. But yeah, they look great.
Now they're all pasted all over the C-Train.
All of the C-Train. yeah, now I have all of, let's see, 1 and 2 of all of the X-Men 97 toys.
So you've got every single one of those?
Oh yes. Yeah, so, Storm.
So tomorrow.
Oh, that Magneto looks so cool. The purple costume one.
Oh, husband, you even got an executioner.
Oh, yeah. The husband and I are opening them up tomorrow night. You know, the one who loves churro. He and I are going to be opening them up tomorrow night while we watch episode 1 and 2. Because, I mean, I could not keep them in the box, especially if we're going to watch them. So, yeah. So I've got all 12 of them. And celebration of X-Men 97 coming out for my birthday 2 weeks ago. I bought
happy birthday.
Happy belated
birthday. Thank you. I got all the X-Men 94 cards. Remember these from 94?
Oh, yeah. The Fleer set. That was a great set.
Oh, those are gorgeous.
I got a whole box of 36 packs that were not opened up, unopened.
Oh, wow.
And I got, you know, even the special ones.
Did you get the full set?
Oh, wow. I used to have some of those.
Everything except for 4 cards. And then I bought 4 more. And then the guy who sold me the 94 set reached out to me. He was like, I got some 95 cards. Do you want them? So this is happening tomorrow. The unboxing of 95 Beer Ultras. So,
that's fun.
Yeah. So I don't know if the husband likes unboxing all these with me, but this is like the best day. So we're going to do that tomorrow night while we're unboxing all of these, I have some additional.
That sounds like a great holiday.
I got this at Christmas, some Generation X. Like, so we're going to be doing.
What is that Generation X thing?
Oh, that's Penance.
Oh, you got Penance.
I have this. Years and years ago.
What were your thoughts on the Generation X movie, Dan?
You know,
give it your rating out of 10.
Oh, when I was like 12, I don't remember how old I was. I thought it was like a good solid 7, maybe an 8.
You're in the Jameel camp. Jameel was a big fan.
Yeah, but I also used to watch with my mom General Hospital. So whatever her name is. Was also like, oh my gosh, she was on General Hospital, and my mom.
The one who played Emma.
I was like, oh my god, I love her, and she's beautiful, and she's fabulous, and she's British.
She was a good Emma.
She was a really good Emma. She was probably the best part of the movie. So
yeah.
So, anyways, this is my whole celebration tomorrow.
That's amazing.
Including the cards and penance
and Fleer sets. That's a Fleer set.
That's why I told you that. And I'm like, oh, I have some surprises for tonight. That's fun to make amazing. Things. So that is how we are celebrating X-Men 97 tomorrow while watching it. We're going to open all the toys while watching the first two episodes. To Me, My X-Men. And what is the second one called?
Let's see. I got the image right here.
To Me, My X-Men is number 1.
We've got To Me, My X-Men, Mutant Liberation Begins.
Yeah. So
then Fire Made Flesh. No, some of these have changed. That's right. This is the old list.
No,
now Motendo
is
Motendo / Life Death Part 1. And I think Shine with Strength Reborn is now Life Death Part 2.
Well, you post the one that has the synopsis of all the
right.
of all the episodes too, right?
Yeah, I posted that on the page there. Yeah.
And Life, Death, Part 1 and 2 are all about Storm and what's going to happen with her life, right? Doesn't she lose her powers?
Well, Life, Death in the comics is a romance story between Storm and Forge.
But isn't it while she loses her powers, though, or something like that, right? Yeah,
at least in Life, Death, Part 1.
Okay, that's what I remember the case most.
In Life, Death, Part 2.
How are you guys?
There's a lot of space between those two comics in the comics.
Okay, so maybe I don't remember that. How are you guys going to celebrate 97 tomorrow?
Well, it's my birthday. So
yay! Happy birthday.
Thank you. Turning 40. I'm getting old.
Oh, you're older than me? Jesus. Look, I can tell. Look how ancient you look with your...
Jeez, you guys are younger than me.
Hands of time.
Some grays there now.
Dan looks younger than both of us combined.
He does. It's true.
And he's older than us? Jesus, how old are you, David?
I'm 5,000 years old, so...
Oh, we'll you're okay. Yeah. So you're one of
those... You look amazing.
You're one of those Anne Rice vampires?
Of course, yes.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday. So how are you spending it?
Well, I hope to get up before the kids. And, I might have to wash it with a baby on my chest. Hopefully she's asleep.
That sounds adorable.
It's very adorable. Yeah. It is very adorable. I haven't really thought past that. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, I keep telling Andre, like, I may not be able to wait until Tuesday, but I might have to just go on, like, do a live stream of my face. Like for 5 minutes and then just
and
like,
I'm trying to remind him that we're not a show that just has to
I don't
do
want to say anything
5 seconds we can I said we want but to do a little happy birthday to Davin thing
I'm gonna be freaking out so I just don't know I don't know what's gonna happen but I'm gonna be freaking out because of X-Men for sure
just ask me before you go on and do anything you do have a co-host here we can do it together
oh yes I know
it.
I will
we can
I
do it together
I know. You guys. I know. Okay. And I don't even have a good idea really but maybe I do I don't know. There's a lot of irons in the fire.
You're not instilling me with confidence, Devin. Maybe we'll do something. I don't know. Do I have a good idea? I could. Who knows? Will Andre need to do something? Maybe. Should I tell him? I don't know.
I believe in connectivity to the universe. I will not force ideas. They will either come or they will not. But most often, they do. MZ loves your collection. His Gene figure arrived today.
Yeah,
I'm planning on staying up till 3 a.m., but not sure I'll be able to sleep. See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just going to be tossing and turning all night because it's only 4 hours away.
I know.
Like, that's like less than 2 Days of Future Past Rogue cuts away.
You can just watch this movie twice. And then
it's not even. It's 2.5 hours long. It's like I'd have to cut it off the second viewing to watch X-Men.
Well, just watch this one and then watch X-Men 1 again, because that's like an hour and 40.
But what are you guys most excited about to see in these first two episodes? Like, again, there's the titles. We have To Me, My X-Men and Mutant Liberation Begins. Are we going to see Strife, Mutant Liberation Front?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be there.
They've already announced that there's a different voice for Cable, right? So
yeah, Potter's Cable now.
Right. So then we know that Cable will be back.
He would have to be Strife as well, I guess.
I have my theory of who I'm most excited to see or most excited with the drama, but I'll let one of you guys
Let's
go
hear
first.
It. Let's hear it. No, I want you're the guest. Let's hear it.
Madeline Pryor.
Oh, well, we know she has an action figure. We know we're going to see
Madeline. She has an action figure, but we're not sure how it's going to actually pan out, right?
That's true.
Like, we're going to see if, because Gene...
Is pregnant Gene Maddie?
I'm not sure, but I'm ready
to... It makes more sense.
It makes sense, but I feel like they're going to throw us for a bunch of loops that I'm ready for. Oh,
so many loops.
Oh, my God. And I can't wait. I'm so happy to hear all the old voices, too, of Allison and Lenore and Cal. And, yeah, God, all those people that are just going to, you know, bring us back. And even if their voice is a little bit different, I'm glad to hear them... a little bit different and a little bit, you know, maturing with us as we have grown with
well,
that.
Well, that's it. I saw somebody complain on her thing about our comment about how Gene doesn't sound the same. They wish they found. It's like, I get it, but like, you have to be realistic, you know, for whatever reasons they can't get her back. So this is the way it's. Either
she's there. She's doing a different role. Her voice. Same with Potter. Like I heard Lenore say his voice changed too much. He couldn't do Gambit anymore.
Yeah, it makes sense. But the idea that, like, because of time, there are things that have changed that we can't undo. So either we have to accept that things are slightly different, or we don't get it. So what would you rather, right? So I'd much rather get the show because it looks fucking awesome and I'm very
good. It looks crazy good. Like I'm so stoked. Like I'm expecting it to be like a friggin' 11 out of 10, a 20, like 2,000 out of 100, and I don't expect to be disappointed.
I'm watching it three times tomorrow, each episode, no matter what. Me too. Happens, to like even like take notes and like send you guys messages on Facebook to be like, this is amazing. Like this is.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I've been waiting. You know, as you guys have been waiting years for this, so.
30 years.
30 years. Crazy. I was like two.
Man, can you imagine any point in the past, before the past, I guess, 2 or 3 years, if someone had told you you get more of the show, would you, like how insane that would have been?
Yeah. You just have to wait 28 more years.
It's like Twin Peaks. Like that show ended a cliffhanger like 94. And then they're like, oh, wait, 25 years later, we're doing another season to wrap it up for you. And it's like, because that show was one of my favorites and it just ended in such a shitty way. You're just like, oh, no, we'll never get closure. But that just gives you hope, folks. As Professor X says, never give up hope. Someday.
MZ's most intrigued by Cyclops' gene storyline. Well, the whole pregnancy thing is very interesting. In Strife, he says.
But we got very little of Cyclops.
Yeah, Ron Reuben is President Kelly now instead of Morph. Which we'll be talking to Ron here on the show here real soon.
Awesome.
But we got, now that, she wasn't going to say there. Yeah, I can't remember. But anyway, hope that your shows might end. The gum you like may come back in style, to quote Twin Peaks. So, it'll come back eventually.
Yeah. MZ says Potter still sounded really good doing Gambit as in an externals read-along at a con. Well, interesting. We got some conflicting info there. But, there's been a shuffle. If you go check out the video, there's like a video of them doing their favorite lines from their characters that I posted on the page today. You get a little taste. Lawrence Bain gives us a little taste of Executioner.
Cool.
Yeah. Check that out. What else? That's it, I think. I think we're pretty running along in the tooth here, don't you think, fellas?
Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, man. I just want to like fly to New York and unbox some Fleer cards. I mean, you.
If you could only imagine the 94 cards on my birthday, 36 packs. I'm like, ooh, this was...
I had a lot of those ones. I don't think I even had any of the 95s, so that's very exciting.
I had a complete run of the Marvel Masterpieces series, the 93 one, the one, and I have them somewhere. I don't know where they are. There's the other cat. Can you see her?
Nothing moves blob.
Oh, the blob.
I can't move my body to show. There she goes. She's in the doorway.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
Is she a princess?
Yeah. Boy, Bishop.
Oh, yeah. You have Masterpieces. Yeah, those are.
Yeah, we got.
I have a whole set of that one somewhere, and I have a book that's like all the Marvel Masterpieces of, it was like 94, 95.
That was good.
I'm actually really looking. I might even say I'm most looking forward to Cyclops in this new series because I think they're going to give him some proper shine, and Storm, I should say. Of course, Storm.
Yeah.
That goes without saying with me. But Storm and Cyclops, them get some like real proper shine.
Probably. Cyclops' voice sounds great too. He's bit like Norm Spencer. Is that his name, right? The one that passed away? Yeah.
Nice book there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good book.
This one has all of the Joe Jusco art from the. Man, look at this. Look at this long before the Guardians of the Galaxy movie picture of
his Rocket and Groot.
That's great.
I mean, this would have been. And what year was this one? This might have been a newer one because some of it looks newer.
It has to be a newer one. There wasn't a Rocket group back then.
2014 is when the series came out. But
That Apocalypse is nice.
Yeah, it's a sweet set.
Ooh.
Yeah. But there's a book coming out, a hardcover I kickstarted of Joe Jusco's. I think it's all of his 93. It's all a big oversized art book of all the full sized paintings.
Oh, that's cool.
From that one. So I'm pretty pumped.
Nice.
Well.
Oh, yeah, Cable.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, so anyway, get some sleep, boys and girls.
All I need now
non-gender is people.
For you to contact your students, Professor.
Well, I think first and foremost, you're not going to want to watch the new episodes of the X-Men cartoon. Don't watch those. There's no need. No, we don't support that here. Old school.
I would do that.
Just go back and watch the original series from the start over again, and don't start with this new stuff.
Especially Secrets Not Long Buried. Just watch Secrets Not Long Buried 5 or 6 times. It's just as good.
Just watch the Morlock Christmas special over and over again. That's all you need.
Then you'd be David Cutler, and you'd be a talented Marvel artist. So
I wish I was David Cutler.
We all wish we were David Cutler.
But no. Go watch the first two episodes. You know, Davin and I may make an appearance tomorrow to celebrate his birthday briefly.
Yeah, please.
I don't know.
It's up to him.
I might be too frazzled. I'll be very excited.
Davin just can't just
weeping.
Vibrates. He just. I get a call from his wife. She's like, Davin died. He was so excited, his heart couldn't take it. He just couldn't take it.
You have to carry. He said, carry on without him.
Well,
he said, "Make Danbit the co-host."
Dan, if Davin dies, you're the new Dan. Davin dies, you're the new Dan.
Can help, please.
Well, you know, if he were, you know, if your partner were to kill him next time, he's in Nova Scotia. You know,
oh my God, he's not killing anybody in Nova Scotia.
On a murder mission.
You can support the show at patreon.com/X-Men Review Show, or you know, check out our Redbubble. I don't know what that is, but you can link to it on our Facebook.
I don't know what it is, but it's out there.
gmail.com. Yeah, you know, there's merch on there, like Danbit stickers. Collect the whole set.
All one of them.
Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. It's the best one. Find our audio-only version wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, review, and subscribe. Give us some reviews, people. We get, like, none of those. Thanks.
Thanks.
We are a proud member of the United Federation of Podcasts, and which you can check out at ufpodcast.com, where we have many fine shows such as...
Oh, no. What's the Graphic happening? Histories Podcast. Dan Bitt, are you listening to the Graphic Histories Podcast?
Not yet. But
Jesus.
I'm sorry. I will. Stop. Of course I will.
I'm kidding.
How did he get into Truro without listening to the Graphic Histories?
I tell you. I haven't been to Truro yet.
No.
Usually there's a guard standing outside.
Have you listened to the Graphic Histories Podcast?
No. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
A new episode dropped yesterday with the former Marvel writer, Fred Van Lente, who wrote for a bunch of comics, most notably Hercules. He did all the Marvel zombie stuff that Kirkman didn't do. So 3, 4, 5. And worked on Spider-Man, worked on a bunch of cool books. Really cool guy. Great conversation. Next up is Chuck Patton, Emmy Award-winning animation director, worked on almost all your favorite shows from childhood, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon from the 2000s, the real Ghostbusters, all kinds of Spawn, the HBO Spawn thing is what he won the Emmy for, and a bunch of other cool stuff. After him, let's see here, we got Diedrich O. Smith, comic artist who worked for DC, and then Gary K. Wolf, the writer of the Who Framed Roger Rabbit books that the movie's based on. And then today I spoke with, so the episode for that will be with today's conversation was with Stephen Grant, who was a comic writer for Marvel Comics for many, many years. Great conversation. Really good. Yeah, really cool guy. A lot of cool stuff about his career and sort of what got him to where he was and some of the interesting ways that he got into the industry. It's pretty cool. And then next up we have Becky Kenzie. I'm talking to her tomorrow. So that'll be Thursday. Well, tomorrow technically now. But Becky Kenzie, who is works for Marvel. So a lot of great episodes coming down the pipeline. And then Andrew Thomas after that.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Busy, busy. Andre talks to everybody.
I'm trying to get everyone in there, but listen to all the other episodes. The Eric Larson one is a very popular episode, so you know, start with that one if you want and work your way back. But if you're like me, you like to start the first episode and go through the whole run. So do that. It's a great conversation. It's a lot of cool
we
people
can
from
comics. Start at my interview.
Oh yeah, which was our former episode on 100. Now it's
no,
just
that
like
was me interviewing you. I'm talking about you interviewing me.
Start oh, that's saying. Way back. That's
yeah, that's way.
It's
back.
A garbage episode. I don't like to
that's
talk.
A garbage episode. I deleted it. It's not even there anymore.
It's deleted from the annals of history.
Yeah.
No, well, that was also Davin's oh, episode 28. So you want to listen
okay,
to Davin?
Okay, there you go.
Talk to Davin. Listen to episode 28.
Find out about my hitchhiking days and commuting with
and
goats
if you want to hear Davin
lay down an escalator.
If you want to hear Davin interview me, that's in episode 56.
Yeah.
But we are now up to episodes.
Where I make him cry about his past.
It's a very Barbara Walters-esque
interview. I tried as often as I could.
It's a very Barbara Walters-esque interview. I just burst into tears.
And we're doing Hold Up on Thursday, 2 days from now. We're going to talk sports movies, Cool Runnings, Eight Men Out, and Foxcatcher.
Eight Men Out.
Yeah, that was Kevin Millard's pick.
Interesting. Every and once then, in a while, you guys would be like, you'll announce your theme, and then it'll be like, it'll be something, one thing normal, and then like one thing that's kind of a little off kilter, and then one thing that's wildly out of left field.
Yeah, well.
It's nice. It's good.
Just makes feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get on up. It's bobsled time.
Oh, right. Shit. I feel Jamil's going to be upset somewhere because you're going to be doing
he's
Jamaican accents left and right.
He's forbidden me to do it. I told him he can show up and do the accent then, and if he doesn't, well, somebody has to.
Just because his skin is black doesn't mean it's cool for him to do a Jamaican accent.
It's cool for anyone to do Jamaican accents. It's cooler accents than are you. Accents. Everybody does British accents. Everyone can do Jamaican accents. Accents are funny. Lighten up, Andre.
Oh, I'm not saying that's the way it is. I'm just saying that's the way it should be. I'm just saying that seems to be the way it is culturally. Devin's rallying against it. All right. Well, we might. I might need you sooner than later, Dan.
I might get canceled.
Once Devin gets canceled, I might need you sooner than later. So be on standby.
There's also Mary Made of Marvel Society, who we might have to do a crossover with because we'd probably review Wolverine and Deadpool over there, but we're probably going to review it over here too, so maybe we'll have 100%. A proper crossover there. And then, of course, if you get your Star Trek fix from us, it's the only place you want to get it. We just had a trouble with trivia. We had Mark Cartier over from the Shuttle Pod show. Me and him went tooth and nail, first place switched back and forth many times. You'll have to check it out to see who wins. Then yeah, look at that. Look at that handsome bunch of Star Trekkers. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. And also Trivial Debates, Aiming on Track, the Hellbound Podcast with Alex Blackburn and Michael Chan. And the newest members of the Federation, United Federation of Podcasts, whom haven't sent me a logo yet. But hey, did you see this one with Jason Phillips and Stephen Waters? Another movie podcast in our beloved Federation. So check that out. Yeah, I muted you a bit, Dan, because your static's back. But do you have any final thoughts?
It is back. Sorry about that. No, thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure as always. And yeah, I'm glad to do this anytime I'm invited.
You're the man, Dan.
You'll be back again. Don't you worry about that. Because we can't stop and we won't stop. Higher, further, faster, but at a medium pace.
Right. Is that a reference to the M. Sandler song?
Yeah.
Okay.
At a medium
nice. Pace. Nice. At a medium pace.
Put your arms around me, baby.
Take the shampoo bottle. Stick it up my ass.
That's pretty great.
That's a nice nod to a bygone era, which is young. When people were listening to that, they were watching this show originally. So, you know, there we go.
There you go. Well said. All right. Well, let's get out of here, shall we?
All right. Next time. See you.
Catch you next time, everybody.
See you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Show.
Bye now.